Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
John chapter 10:10 is where I want to start today, but understand this, that when we were worshiping, something came to my spirit, and I quickly got on my phone and went to my Bible app, and I was reminded about John chapter 4, and the story of John chapter 4, and in that story, Jesus is at the well, he's extremely exhausted, and he's just chilling, and there's a woman there at the well. And this woman comes, and she recognizes that he's a teacher, and she didn't quite know he's the Messiah, but she recognizes he's a man of the cloth, so to speak, and she comes over to him, and she kind of plays religious games with Jesus. And she knows he knows God, and she comes over to him, and she says, the Jews say that we're to worship here, and these Pharisees say we should worship here. Where do you worship? And basically, in a nutshell, Jesus says, why are you asking me these questions? Let's talk about your husband. And she says, what are you talking about? I'm not married. And he giggles and says, oh, that's right. You've had four husbands, haven't you? And the one that you're shacking up with ain't even the one that you should be with. And the woman is thrown back. And she poses another religious question. And finally, Jesus just stops and he explains about worship. He gives a little word about worship. And then he says this to her. And I want you to catch this because I heard this on the front row as we were worshiping this morning, which was powerful. But some of you missed it. And he says this to her. He says, you worship a God you don't know. John chapter 4, go back and read it this week. You worship a God you don't even know. Because see, he recognized a woman coming to him with religious questions rather than just living right. Wanting to come to church to get more knowledge, teach me something. Come on, teach me. Not how to Dougie, but teach me the word. Teach me. And that's what I want. Jesus says, that don't even matter. What matters is how you living. Come on, ask your neighbor how you living. Don't put your head down, because then you look guilty. Just do what I said to do, okay? Some of you are like, oh gosh, don't ask me that. Gave yourself away right there, okay? But see, Jesus stops everything and he says this. He says, you worship a God that you don't know. And so I got that right on the front row there because I prepared a message to you that's entitled The God of Increase. And the reason it's entitled The God of Increase is because some of you have forgotten the God you serve. And you're settling for a life that is mundane. You're settling for no change. You're settling for the status quo. And that is not the God you serve. The reason many Christians are so lax in their dedication to God is because they don't know the God they serve. When you don't know the God you serve, you go to church once or twice a month. When you don't know the God you serve, you tithe whenever you got extra money, you throw it in. When you don't know the God you serve, you're very lax in your pursuit of him. But if I can introduce you, oh, come on. If I can do as Jay-Z said, allow me to reintroduce myself. Come on. Let me to reintroduce you. Some of y'all don't know that song, but some of you do. Let me reintroduce you to the God of increase. Look at John chapter 10, verse 10 in the New King James Version. Here we go. It says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil. That's the thief. That's your flesh. That's this world. That is not God. Tell your neighbor, quit blaming God for three of those things in your life. Quit telling them. Quit blaming God. I get tired of going to funerals and people saying, and the Lord needed another tulip in his garden, and so he took my tía. No, he didn't. He didn't. Your tía wasn't much of a tulip anyway, but that's a whole nother message. That's another message. We don't need to talk about that right now. Let's keep going. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus lays it out like this. He said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You need to highlight that scripture in your Bible, on your phone. You need to read that. You need to understand that that is Jesus' mission statement in your life. And when he comes into your life, this is what he wants to do. This is what he wants to do. He doesn't want to make your life worse. He doesn't want to take away all your fun or what you call all your sin. He didn't come to make your life suck. He didn't come to make you religious and boring and fruitless. He came to give you life. And he came not only to give you life, but to give you life more abundantly. Some of you forgot that. Some of you forgot that, because if you remember that, that's motivation to pursue him with everything. Some of us are lax to sleep. Listen, I'm on Zoom calls. I'm talking to pastors all over the country. And the biggest problem that every church is having in America is, yes, people are slowly coming back to church, but a lot of them don't want to do anything when they go back. Volunteerism is at an all-time low. But you know why? It's because they have forgotten the God of abundance. God didn't come to make your life worse. He came to make it better. Let me read it to you in the Message Translation, which is one of my favorites. I quote this all the time. It says in the Message Translation, go ahead and put that up. It says, I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me, here it is, will be cared for. Whew, a couple weeks ago, we talked about why he calls us sheep. Because it's his job to care for us. Anyone who comes to me will be cared for. That alone is a reason to give your life to Jesus. Because he's going to care for you. Some of you need to trust Jesus, but you're taking care of yourself. You know how we know you take care of yourself? Because you do life your way. I know the Bible says to do this, but I'm going to do it this way. Yeah, you keep taking care of yourself. I'd rather have God take care of me because I'm not as smart as God. And can I give you a news flash? Neither are you. I was going to say that a lot more mean, but the Holy Spirit just kind of came on me and said, son, restrain. Let's keep reading. He says, anyone who goes through me will be cared for and will freely go in and out and find pasture. And then he says this, a thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. And he says, I came so that you can have life, real life, eternal life. And here's my favorite part, more and better life. Come on, somebody say mo better. Mo better, come on. More and better life than you ever dreamed of. You need to highlight that in your message Bible. Some of you got to catch why you need to do things God's way. See, the deception is you know better than God. Because we start listening to our crazy tia, we start listening to our crazy tio, we start listening to our broken parents, we start listening to our neighborhood, everybody we know, and we get away from listening to the God who came to make your life better. Oh, I should have got a better amen than that. Because see, some of you have forgotten the God you serve. See, we take truths like this for granted. But there was a man named Oral Roberts who existed in the 50s. And Oral Roberts was a healing evangelist. Many of you know Oral Roberts University that's built in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But did you know that when Oral Roberts was on the scene, his main message, and this message made so many people mad. His message was this: God is a good God. He would start his broadcast saying, God is a good God. And did you know religious people got mad? And people persecuted him. They said, oh, you can't preach those messages. You can't talk like that. And you know what their context was? Most preachers up to that time used to scare people out of hell. They would scare people out of hell. And they would preach messages about how God's wrath would come upon you unless you give your life to Jesus. And people would flood the altars. And don't get me wrong, there's some truth in that. Definitely, we need to understand that God has wrath. It's not gone. Remember, the Bible says, I am God, I do not change. The Old Testament is full of God's wrath. It still exists. It didn't go away. But you and I are spared from it because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Another reason to serve him, in case you was wondering. He's going to take care of you, and he's going to take care of God's wrath in your life. But see, preachers up to that time were really talking hellfire and brimstone messages, baby. They were talking about get right or get left in the rapture. Amen. They would preach messages, you know, get right or burn. Or was it turn or burn? Amen. And, you know, all that stuff. And what happened is a lot of Western Christianity lost the understanding that we get to meet God, and he's a good God. And he's on your side. And he wants to bless you. Are you tracking with me? I'm going to prove it to you through the word of God so you don't think I'm just giving you some kind of my own theory here. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17 says this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from God. That beautiful wife you got, you weren't good enough to get that. God said, I got to help this fool out right here. And I'm saying, thank you, Father, thank you, because I'm talking to myself. That man that you got that works hard, come on, Esco Hoard. Working hard out there. Brings home the whole check. Home every night, sleeping right next to you. You weren't good enough to get that. You look good, but not that good. God gave that to you. Them cute little babies in the nursery right now, you think those are just your genes. Bible says here, every good and perfect gift is from above. You ever been around somebody that's handing out gifts? There's a way you treat them. Come on, let's take it to work. When there's raises that your boss is about to hand out, and you know he's the source of the raise that you desire, if you're smart, again, if you're smart, you will treat him a certain way. Am I lying in here? Come on. If you know this man has the power to change my life with a $100 a week raise, I'm going to throw a little sir on that name when I talk to him. How you doing, sir? Good to see you, sir. There's some of y'all in here. I ain't doing that. See, I was talking to the intelligent people. We got work to do with you. We got to get some of that hood out of you. Because the world don't work like the hood. The world has a different set of rules. The kingdom even has greater rules than the hood. The kingdom says that honor unlocks blessing. I love the hood, but we got to get the hood out of you. I like what Jesus said. I'm in the hood, but I'm not of the hood. Oh, come on. So that's a t-shirt right there. I ain't of the hood, which means I got a higher mentality. But understand what we're saying here. If every good gift comes from him, that would mean he's my source for every blessing in my life. And if you're smart, you connect to the source. But see, some of you think your blessings come from earthly means. Some of you think your corporation you work for is the source of your blessing. It's not, according to the word. Now, God uses the corporation you work for, but they ain't the source. You know how your business is going to work? It's going to work when you understand who the true source is. You could do all the marketing you want. You can do all those things you want, and you should. But you better understand, as a follower of Jesus Christ, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. So connect to him. Connect to him. But see, some of you don't know that God. So you connect to other things. You know how you're going to find your husband? Connect to the one that gives every good gift. Because you shouldn't want a husband that he didn't put his blessing on. Somebody said, I wish I heard this message 5 years ago. Because my husband wasn't a gift. I'm reading somebody's mail right now. I know. That's because you chose to do it on your own. You went out of bounds. Come on, somebody. So every good gift comes from God. What is it you desire? Your career. Come on, family, friendships, children. The only way you get it is by connecting to the source of every good gift and every perfect gift. I'm just reading the Bible to you today. Let's keep reading, okay? Let's look at the same scripture now in the Message translation. The Message translation says it like this. So my very dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God. Here it is. Nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word. And he shows us off as the crown of all his creatures. What's it saying right here? Again, every good gift comes from him. But this one comes with a warning. But don't be deceived. What do you got your eyes on? As the source of your blessing. Some of you are just going, man, when I get married, everything's going to be okay. No, don't make that man your source. Don't make that man your source. Your source is God. If I could just find a good wife. No, knucklehead. Read the Bible. Well, if I could just get this money, if I just get this career, if I could just get this promotion. No, listen to me. Every good gift comes from him. Every good gift. So you should be doing everything in your power to connect more to him. Give me an amen on that. Amen. Let's keep going. I'm just reading the scriptures to you. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 11. I'm going to read to you in the New King James Version. It says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Now I'm pausing for effect for a reason. Because you know, it doesn't say ask and maybe I'll give it to you. If I'm in the mood, I'll answer you. It doesn't say knock and if you had a good week, I'll answer. But that's how we act. Our prayers are so weak. They have no faith in them. It's like, well, God, could you please? Many Christians pray like beggars and not sons. If you're up to it, and we like to throw this phrase in there, if it's your will, because that just sounds so nice and religious and so fake, really. Jesus says this: you want to know my will? You want to know his will? It's in the book. It's in the book. Come on, tell your neighbor it's in the book. Somebody in here say, what book? That book you don't read. That book your grandma been trying to get you to read forever. That book that sits on your bookcase. You're going to have to blow the dust off. It's in the book. See, what I'm trying to tell you today is this: God is a God of increase. And what I'm trying to read to you in his own words, he says, ask and I'll open to you. I'll ask and it will be given to you. It's so absolute. So absolute. Knock and it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks, you might get it. Is that what it says? I said, is that what it says? It says ask and you'll receive. But here's the breakdown. Be it according to what you believe. That's the breakdown. God says, this is my word. But in order to get what's in this book into your life, you've got to believe it. If you don't believe it, you can't have it. Are you tracking with me today? If you don't believe it, or here's a better one for some of you because you think too much. If you won't believe it, you can't have it. Because we got all these reasons. But when I read Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it'll be given to you. You know what that is? That's darn close to a guarantee. Because Jesus, and theologians will tell you this, God is not a man, he cannot lie. If there is one lie in this book, the whole foundation of the book crumbles. So when Jesus says, ask and it'll be given unto you, all he's asking you to do is believe that. And if you can believe it, you can have it. That's why Romans tells us this: God has chosen through the act of preaching to save them that were lost. It actually says he's chosen through the foolish act of preaching. Because it's foolish to think that hearing messages can change your life, but God says, I've chosen to use that. Why? Because if we can get God's word in you and we can get your faith to line up with it, you can have what's in the book. You can actually be introduced to the God of increase. Are you tracking with me today? Let's keep reading. For everyone who asks receives. Man, you better highlight that. And he who seeks will find. That's why I can't understand people say, well, I've tried Jesus and it didn't work. I'm just going to leave that right there. Let's keep going. Or what man is there? Look at what it says. And to him who knocks, it'll be opened. Or what man is there among you? This is a great one. If his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Wouldn't that be jacked up? You get up on Saturday morning. Daddy, can you make me some toast? Your dad comes out of the bedroom. Yeah, here's your toast. Throws a rock at the kid. He says, who would do that? Some of y'all are going, I know some dudes that would do that. But look what he says. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? He's down for this. He lives for this. Pastor, I'm starting this business and I really want it to take off. Oh, praise God, I'm going to pray for you. But you better understand this. Your dad, your dad in heaven wants to see you succeed more than you want to succeed. And check this out. Your dad, he knows people. He knows some people. Your dad not only knows some people, he's rich. Not only that, your dad also has promised you some things. You want to know what he's promised? That if you ask me for something, Jesse, I'll give it to you. If you ask me for something, Pastor Tina, you'll receive it. Oh, I can see the light bulbs going on. Yeah, but I asked God before, and it ain't here. I heard you. I've been asking God to heal my body, and it ain't here yet. Listen, God does not work according to your timetable or mine. Now, I know, I wish he did. But isn't this promise enough? Y'all, greedy self. We want this promise and we want it now. Come on, y'all remember Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? I want it now. The old one, not that scary one that came out a few years ago. Tim Burton one, not that one. The old one where the lady turned blue and she went up in the chubby, oh, they both had chubby guys in it. But you know the one. I want the world. I want it now. We get so greedy sometimes. Jesus gives you a promise. It'll happen. But here's the only catch. You don't get to tell him when. You don't get to tell him when. You got to be okay with that. Can I tell you why? Can I tell you the people who are okay with it? People who understand God's place in your life. We're okay with it. We're okay with it because I get this. Hey, he's God, not me. If you're not okay with it, it's because you're still treating God like he's the blue genie in Aladdin. You're still treating him like he's your wish maker. We rub the lamp 3 times. God, give me a new job. Give me a new job. Where's that new job? Dang, this don't work. You get up next morning. Okay, God, let this be like you're rolling dice. Okay, God. Come on, snake eyes. Let this be the day. I need this job today. Let this be the day. And that's your prayer. Come on, man. To use a word from Joe Biden. Come on, man. You ever notice how much he says that? Come on, man. Get the vaccine. But what is the word saying here? He's your dad. He's your dad, and he is the God of increase. Why do we think in terms of God withholding from us? I don't understand that. Some of us think the only way we're going to get things is if we sneak outside of the will of God. If we just have our own life over here, then, you know, if we can just, you know, do things outside. No, man, get all up in the Word. Let this Word tell you what to do with your money. Let this Word tell you how to spend. Let this Word tell you how to place your priorities. Let this Word talk to you about how to run your business, and you will see the God of increase increase you. And you don't have to pay some guru to be your life coach. Don't get me started on all that. My life coach. Listen, if you're going to have someone coach your life, inspect their life. Give them relationship advice and never had a man. Only saw boys. Men are different. And that's who's speaking into your life on Instagram. Can't wait till their videos come up. Oh, I'm talking to somebody today. You can't wait for that ratchet advice that you get from folks. It don't work. You need to get the advice of the God of increase. Jesus says it right here. If earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their kids, how much more do you think your heavenly Father wants to bless you, your business, your marriage, your kids, your life? Choose you this day who you will serve. Quit playing footsie with your old life. Y'all know what that means? Somebody said, ugh, what's that? Back in the day, in the less ratchet days, people on a date would play footsie. They just rub feet. You see it in movies. Nowadays, they're rubbing way more than that. Let's keep going. Let's get back into the holy things of God. Hallelujah. But see, footsie was a nice way of saying, hey, I'm interested. As some of you play footsie with the world, hey, I'm interested. I'm in church, but I'm interested. You cut that out. You cut that out. Every good gift comes from Him. The world's got nothing to promise. The world's got nothing for you. You didn't find that out? I think we all found that out. When are you going to learn? When are we going to learn? The world's got nothing for you, man. Let's keep going. Psalms 34, verse 8 and 10. Boy, the Bible is getting the Bible good. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm just showing you all the stuff you won't read on your own. That's all I'm doing. I'm not adding up. I'm not putting dubs on it or nothing. It's just, it is says what it says. Psalms 34, 8 through 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Let me stop right there. First of all, it says the Lord's good. Why do you run from Him? He's good. He's good. Yeah, but Pastor, I've been messing up. All the more reason to run to Him. Yeah, but Pastor, I ain't been praying. All the more reason to run to Him. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I've been doing. I've been struggling with this addiction. I'm over here, over in these places I shouldn't be. All the more reason to run to Him, because He's good. Now, if He was mean, and if He was bad, then please run away from Him. Run away. We all should be running from Him. Let's all, you know, let's forget this. But see, we as Christians are still treating God like He's a bad God. Like He's the God of Mount Sinai, where He's just fire and smoke, and He's going to get you. Listen, if He was going to get somebody, we'd have all been God. You'd have got God yesterday. You remember when? The barbecue, watching the game. You'd have got God then. People looking around. Is He talking? Me? Listen, my point is this. None of us make it. If He was a mean God, if He was out to get somebody, we'd all been God already. But guess what? He's not. And you know what's even crazier? He knows everything about you and me. He knows all our dirt. And guess what? We all got dirt. Tell your neighbor, you know you got dirt. Tell them. Just tell them. Because they acting all pious right now. They acting like they ain't got nothing. They act like they smell like roses. They don't. They don't. Everybody's got dirt. Now, there are different degrees of dirt, but we ain't got to get into that. Amen? The fact is, we all got dirt. But the psalmist says, man, taste and see God's good. He's good. He's good. He's good if you're living for him. He's good if you ain't. You cannot change the goodness of God. But here's the problem. I got to get you to believe he's good. Because some of y'all still don't believe it. Because some of y'all treat God like he's somebody you grew up with. Some of us treat God like your God. And you know, for you, you wouldn't forgive certain people. So you think God's going to do you like that. And he's not. You know how we get to see who God is? Through his scriptures. This is why we have a 7 a.m. Bible study for people that struggle in the Word. If you have a hard time, listen, and I've been there. If you're one of these that, man, I try, Pastor, but I can't, I don't get it. You better get in that 7 a.m. Bible study. Oh, it's early. Well, that's too early. You either want it or you don't. Tell your neighbor you either want it or you don't. For the early morning risers, we have a 6 p.m. Bible study on Thursday nights. Oh, that's too early. That's too late. You either want it or you don't. Are you tracking with me? If I could get you to learn and be introduced to the God of increase, and look what he says here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, but you got to taste and you got to see. And then he says this, blessed is the one who trusts in him. You know what I get tired of hearing from folks? Pastor, there's nothing I can do. We're trusting God. And they say it all depressed. You know, we've tried everything. We've went to every doctor. Now we're just trusting God. You know what the Bible says? Then you're blessed. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. You good then. If you tried everything and there's no answers, and you finally, your knucklehead self finally is going, well, now I'm going to just trust God. Heaven is going, you're blessed. Yeah. The cloud of witnesses is going, all right. Way to go, Einstein. You finally learned that if you're trusting the Lord, you're blessed. But you know what we do? We do everything to not have to trust God. Some people's motivations to get a good paying job is so they don't have to trust God for their needs. I'm making six figures. I'm good. I'm straight. I don't need God. You better watch yourself. You better watch yourself. I'm good now. You know, me and my family, we're straight. You better watch yourself. We all need God. I say, well, Pastor, why do you say that I have to watch myself? You just said God's a good God. You just said he's not going to get me. Listen, I didn't say God was going to get you. Here's the biggest problem we face, right? We think bad things still come from God. Bad things don't come from God. You want to know where they come from? Your bad decisions. That's where they come from. Quit blaming God because you got humbled. People's testimonies. You know, I just got away from the Lord and the Lord had to humble me. No, your dumb decisions humbled you. Your decision to stop praying, stop going to church humbled you. God ain't worried about humbling you. Guess what God's wanting to do? Bless you, help you, increase you, but you got off his path. And so then you lost the job. You messed up the marriage. You jacked up the son or daughter. And you say, well, that's what God used to get me back on the path. Man, the Bible says this. It's the goodness of God that brings man to repentance. It's our foolish decisions that humble us. So when I say you better watch yourself, I'm not saying it like God's going to get you. No, your dumb decisions will come and get you. Your decision to not give God that which is his. Are you tracking with me today? You need to catch this today because he loves you. He's the God of increase. He wants to bless you. Every good blessing comes from him. Amen. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Let's keep reading. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. You know what that means? That means revere or worship him. And then it says this, there is no want to those that fear him or worship him. The young lions out there on Instagram, they lack. They suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now here's the thing. Pastor, how do I get that in my life? Believe it. Believe it. That's why you come to church. That's why I got to preach the word to you. Because God has chosen through the act of preaching to save those that are lost. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Because if we could get the word of God in your heart, you could believe it. You could have what's in the book. This ain't a message. You know what this is? This is 30 years of serving God. This ain't a message. This is 30 years. 30 years of three times in my life having to give God everything I owned. When I first did that, that was easy because I didn't own much. Oh, you want my used furniture? Okay, Lord, I'll sew that. Go right ahead. Oh, Lord, do you want me to leave this rented apartment? No problem. But the last time he asked it, I gave up a gated community. I gave up friends. I gave up a career that I had spent 20 years building. And you know what God showed me? I can trust him. And he showed me that so that I could tell you, you can trust God. You can trust him. I'm almost done. Charles, if you could help me out. Let me just leave you with this last point today. We got to get rid of these thinkings that God is out to get you, or God's a bad God, or there's some problems that, you know, God can't fix in your life, that, you know, you can't run to him. Listen, we got to get rid of all that stuff. Got to get rid of that. And the way we get rid of that is quit believing bad things and bad teaching. Quit believing everything you hear a preacher say. And start trying things. Come on, eyeballs over here. They're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. They're handling something. I want you to catch this today before I let you go. This is who God is. He's the God of increase, which means you have every right to expect your life to get better and better. I did not say easier and easier. We got to teach the millennials today. Life is not easy for anybody. For anybody. It's not easy for LeBron James. It's not easy for Steph Curry. It looks easy. He's throwing up shots like this, going in. But it ain't easy for anybody. It's just the way life is. But what we got to start doing is we got to know the God that we worship. So let me introduce you to Jehovah Nissi. See, in the Bible, God had certain names. I like to call them nicknames. How many remember nicknames? Some of you still living with a nickname, right? Some of them ain't too cool. But some of them are all right. Like, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I remember when I met Jessica here, she had the nickname J-Ro. Because you know J-Lo. Y'all acting like you don't know J-Lo up in the house? Pray the spirit of liar on you right now. And I remember when we met Jessica, they said, oh, they call me J-Ro. I said, okay. How many know that's a pretty, if someone's going to call you somebody after Jennifer Lopez, you doing okay, amen? Because if you weren't worthy of that name, somebody would have told you, hey, don't call yourself that. But Jessica was worthy. A nickname tells you something about the person. Let me tell you Jehovah's nicknames. Jehovah Nissi, guess what this means? God is my refuge. It literally means this, that which shelters and protects you from danger, distress, or calamity. It means a stronghold which protects by its strength and which secures by its safety. You know what that means? God will always protect you. Are you sick? Run to Jehovah Nissi. Are you hurting? Get to Jehovah Nissi, because he's your refuge. Jehovah Jireh. Oh, we sing that song right now. It's big right now. Jireh. Come on. Don't get me started up here. I'll take y'all into the presence. Y'all ain't, we won't get out of here if I start singing. The glory might fall. We might be in here till 2 o'clock. All right, don't get me started. But we sing Jireh. Do you know what Jireh means? The Lord will provide. He'll provide. You know what's idiotic? You ready for this? I gotta hurt you to help you, but hear my heart. We'll sing Jehovah Jireh, or we'll sing Jireh, you're enough, but then we won't tithe. We don't give offerings. You wanna know the number one reason people don't give? We're afraid if I give this, I won't have enough for myself. The two don't go together. You don't know my God. You don't know my God. 30 years I've been given to the Lord, above the tithe. And you know what he has shown me? That he will provide. You know what he's waiting? He wants to meet you. He wants to meet you. The Lord that provides wants to meet you, but you won't taste and see. This is his nickname, the Lord that provides. He's the one you go see when you need something. Look at this last, look at this other one here. Jehovah Rapha. Come on, I knew a guy named Rapha one time, remember? You guys know some Raphas in the neighborhood? Yeah, this Rapha wasn't a good dude, wasn't a good dude. But this Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, is a good guy. You know why? Because Rapha literally means this, the God who heals. And you stressed out about what the doctor said. And you're worried about the pain in your body. Come on, I don't want to be insensitive. And this is where you got to understand something here. Truth, the first time you hear it, makes you mad. It makes you mad. This is for all the mad people in here, because I see you. I see you. I see you. We don't like to hear, well, are you just telling me that? Yeah, I'm just telling you that God's nickname in the Bible is the one who heals. Well, I've been asking him. Remember, it ain't on your time. Ain't on your time. But don't get it twisted. He does heal. When you're sick, you should know a healer. When the virus hits your neighborhood, do you need to be in fear? No. Be careful, not fearful. You know what we learned during coronavirus? People worship a God they don't know. It came through. Most of us in here got it at one point or another. And God healed you. Because it's what he does. But this is always when we start getting our mind off track. Yeah, but I know so-and-so and they didn't make it. Where was God then? Listen, that's between them and God, not you and God. I can't answer that. That's between them and God. But when it comes to you and God, that's what you need to be focused on. You need to get your eyes off of all, well, what about this person? And I knew somebody, they didn't get healed. Well, you can't speak for them and God. You can only speak for you and God. His name is also Shalom, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Come on, somebody. But here's the thing. We don't even understand that word peace. In the Hebrew, you know what that word means? It means wholeness, where your trauma is healed. It means peace, harmony. Here's another one. It means completeness. I didn't have a father, you say, but you can meet Jehovah Shalom, and he can complete you. That's what Shalom means, completeness. Here's what else. It means prosperity, tranquility, provision. That's his nickname. Why would you not want to serve a God like this? And the last one is Jehovah Rohi, which means, and we talked about this, he's your shepherd. It's his job to take care of you. It's his job to make sure you have food on the kitchen table for your family. It's his job to make sure, listen now, your business makes it. If you let him shepherd you. But you trying to do it on your own. I already told you, sheep cannot take care of themselves. And this is why up to this point, you've had so much problems. This is why every relationship you've been in has been, it's been a nightmare. Because you keep picking a husband. You won't let God shepherd you and guide you and put you in the right place. And you're killing yourself doing it yourself. Let me introduce you today to the God of the increase. Let's stand on our feet. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? I'm going to let you leave. But some of you in here, you got to make a decision right now that can alter the rest of your life. And that decision is the acknowledgement of saying, God, forgive me for trying to do this on my own. Just close your eyes in here for a moment. Every person here, if you're here today and you're the one where it says you worship a God that you don't know, maybe that's you. It's time today that you meet the God of increase, that your marriage gets better and better, your family gets stronger and stronger, your finances get better and better. But it's going to take you submitting to his lordship. You got to give up control and you got to quit doing it your way. He's got somebody for you, a wife, a husband, a house. And I know it's not about material things, but we all know some of those things weigh heavy on us. Give him control. If you're here today and nobody looking around, please respect everybody's privacy. You ain't got to be all nosy. Just close your eyes for a moment. Because this is a very personal moment. If you would say, Pastor, I'm ready to give up control and give it back to God. Just slip up a hand right now. Just slip up a hand. Yeah. Nobody's looking around. It's between you and God. Yep. 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 I see it. I see it. You can put your hand down. Let's all pray this together with those brothers and sisters that raise their hands. There are hands all over this place. I commend you guys. Something's about to shift in your life today. Let's pray this all together. Say, Jesus, I repent for not trusting you and not knowing you. Your word tells me you have come to make my life better. Yet I keep controlling it. Today, I give up control and I give it to you. Take care of me. Take care of my business, my finances, my relationships. In Jesus' name. But before you open your eyes, just take a deep breath. You just feel the peace of God filling your lungs, filling your body. Lord, touch broken bodies today. Heal bodies today, Father, and strengthen lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Y'all get something today? Amen. Give God a good praise. Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.